all of Tracy Shaver's family's homesick today, Jimmy and her mom, Pat, and her sister, Tammy. And glad she was able to be here, but remember them in your prayers, please. Chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Father, we look into your word this morning. I pray you'll guide and direct in what is said. Help me to help your people. And if someone hears the message that is not yet saved, we pray for them to come to know Christ as Savior. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in a world surrounded by hostile, irreverent, immoral or amoral thinking and having influences on all of us and on the whole world. Influences that can shatter our homes and testimonies for God. A Christian home must find what it needs from the Word of God and the church to counter this world in which we live. The Christian home is the place that is a place of security, a place of rescue, a place of rest. Home and mother are two words that lead in the American language of bringing comfort. Christian home is the place where we go when we are finished, tired, working, busy, and we retreat to our homes. Now, the needs from the Word of God in the church, we want our homes to be effective in bringing up our young people, our children in this world. We see how all of us who are my age or older, we've seen how the world has changed over the years and how difficult it is for kids today to live in a society that is so anti-God and anti-Bible and anti-church. And our children are being brought up and have influences from those kind of people on them all the time. Now, I didn't see it. I just heard actually this morning that the Olympics had cross-dressers do a mock of the Last Supper. And there were a lot of people upset about it. A lot of people canceled their Netflix accounts. And there's some outcry, there's some pushback, which there should be. They wanted to have cross-dressers go into the public schools and teach children children's stories, have them sit around with them and read books to them and such a thing as that. And it's hard for us to believe that society has changed so much that they would allow things like that to take place and they would push them on the rest of the world. Well, to deal with that, we're going to need a well-planned course of action. If we live how we live and spend our time and our energies in raising our children and in living our lives as testimonies for Christ, the Christian home is surrounded by secular homes that don't follow the Word of God, may not go to church, may not know the Lord as their Savior. In our neighborhood of 70-something houses in the little neighborhood that was built beside us, there's at least four races of people. There's a Mormon who's paid by the Mormon religion to do work for them. There's Hindus. There's about every Catholics and about every other race of people and religion of people. And there's one family beside us that are members of an independent Baptist church. And they belong to Harvest Baptist Church, which is much closer to where we live than this church is. So we have a mission field that we can be a witness to, but it is difficult to get to talk to people. I've noticed that in this development, it is akin to many developments we've seen in Fort Mill, that people stay in the house. Their whole life is either at work or in the house, and many of these people work from home, so they're just home all the time. And it's hard to rub shoulders with them and get an opportunity to talk to them, to be a witness to them. It's important, Romans tells us, not to be formed with this world. The Latin prefix is con for conformed and trans for transformed. Con means to be formed with. People are shaped into a mold to be like the society in which we live. To be transformed takes the power of God to be fashioned after what is away from this world, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are to be conformed to His image as Christians. So not being molded by the world society we live in, but transformed from the power of God into one who is like Christ. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. How do we get this point of being able to be transformed like Christ? Well, the Bible has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So everything we need for life and godliness is given unto us through the Scriptures, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through God's foundational building us on Christ, the solid rock foundation that we all need in order to mature as a believer. We stop and think for a moment of the secular government schools that our children usually have to go to, and we recognize the changes that have invaded those schools, and that because of federal funding, local areas are given texts to teach and philosophies to enforce that they themselves would not necessarily agree with, but because they take money from the federal government, they have to take these things that the federal government passes down. The kids are facing the danger on internet of the things that can come up. And if they're a little weak in their moral strength, they can search for things very easily and find them. There are groups trying to get kids to meet with them and to run away who get kidnapped. There's the problems of society of unwed mothers, single-parent homes, and the problems that develop with kids who don't have a mother and a father, who are bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Over the years, people lie enough that people begin to believe what they tell is true. They tell you what you want to hear, what is a desire you have, a rewarding for a wrongdoing that would appeal to you. Well, the Bible teaches us that in Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. So God's in charge. He's on the throne. He has given us what we need for life and godliness. But the society in which we live is not where we're going to find what we need for life and godliness. That's going to be found in the Christian home and in the Christian church. God's word is sufficient for us. We must desire to obey the word of God and please God and search for how God's word has answers to life's problems and questions for us. We seek to be wise people in raising our children, then we must look to God for answers. Matthew 7, Jesus taught that a wise man builds his house on the rock, and a foolish man builds his house on the sand. And when the winds and rains and storms come, the foolish man who built his house on the sand, his home would crumble and fall. But the man who built his house on the rock, his house would stand through the test of all that beats against it. Now, the foundation of our homes needs to be sure, built on Christ, built on the Word of God, built on living the Christian life, seeing the importance of knowing the Lord as our Savior, and teaching our children how to live for the Lord. It ought to be obvious to us that we need our Heavenly Father. We need His power. We need His grace and mercy. He is all-knowing, ever-present, and stands ready to help us. But we've got to get self out of the way quite often and see the need that we have and lay that out before the Lord. We build our home successfully with His provision and with His protection. Now, some are very blessed to have a Christian family and have grandparents that are Christians, good church people. People that love the Lord, go faithfully to church, believe the Bible, teach their family those things. But some of you are like me, we're first generation Christians. We didn't grow up in a home of Christ. We didn't grow up where there were devotions. We didn't grow up where people prayed. We didn't grow up where they were teaching us the things of God and the right way of living. I'm thankful that my mom and dad both became Christians. They both got saved before they passed away. And they had a life of serving the Lord for a period of time. It was not a long period of time, but there was a period of time. But many of you have had grandparents that are godly, have influenced your parents, and your parents are godly and have brought you to church, and you're living for the Lord. And what a blessing that is in raising children to see the family follows the same teaching, the same beliefs, the same morals. And that will be a great help and a testimony to others. Others have a blended family because of divorce and remarriages. There's kids, we often say yours, mine, and ours. You know, the kids by this marriage and by that marriage, and you try to blend them together. That doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means it's harder. There's more baggage there. There's more difficult things to cross. And they don't come necessarily with the same thinking and unity that a family that has had grandparents that are Christians and parents that are Christians and have raised them in the home right, and that influence makes a great leap forward in their testimony for Christ. The raising kids can be difficult, and it can be difficult if they've come from abuse or a broken home or things of that nature. But it should never get to the point that we raise kids by bribery or by threats or by sarcasm or by embarrassment and ridicule. That is not God's way of bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We set goals for them and encourage them to meet those goals. and we reward them if they do. And then we let them know how vitally important it is that these things we're teaching them becomes a part of their life. The growth years of my life, my teen years, probably from 11 to 15 or something like that, my parents both worked, and my mother worked a third shift job, so she came home working, had to sleep during the day. And so I had two older sisters and one younger sister. And she went to a daycare with a lady, not a commercial daycare, just one person took care of her, which my mother paid. I could do almost anything I wanted to do without any supervision whatsoever. And that's the kind of life that many kids are leading today, especially those that are in a single-parent home. And they can easily be influenced and lured into things that they should have no business being a part of. I knew growing up in the home that I lived in that my parents had absolutely no extra money for the kind of things that I wanted like other kids had. And so if I was going to have any of those things, I'd have to go to work and earn the money myself. So at 13, I went to work on a farm. 10 to 12-hour days in the summertime, I earned $3 a day working 12-hour days. 6 days, I made $18. And I could take that $18 and buy a pair of boots in those days or a pair of pants in those days, or, save some of it, or things of that nature. And then when I was 14, I went to work in a service station. And I worked every day after school. In the summertime, I worked full-time. And in the school year, I worked every afternoon until it closed. And then I worked all day on Saturday and all day on Sunday. And I saved the money to buy my own clothes. I bought my own car. I paid my own car insurance. But I still knew that I lived in a home that didn't belong to me. That was my parents' home. And I had to yield to their wishes. I had to yield to their instructions and their influence. They didn't teach me some practical things in life that you need to know, like where money comes from and how much it takes to provide a home and living. We were just discussing even today with some folks about people moving to the Fort Mill area. And nowadays it's not unusual for an apartment to be $2,000 a month rent or higher. Many of the areas like Steel Creek, they got to $2,500 a month. And this is just for an average apartment. This is not some luxury apartment or something of that nature. And we think back at what we paid for a home or what we paid for rent back in the early days of our lives. My wife and I built our first house. I had a friend that was a contractor, and I helped him, and we did a lot of the work ourselves, and then we contracted out the rest of the work. I went to the bank and borrowed the money, and I paid $20,000 for our first home, 3-bedroom brick house with a bath and a half. And then I built a garage out back. And I was worried about the payments. They were $180 a month. And pretty soon I got a good job as a welder, making enough money that payment didn't bother me a bit then, and it went well. But how the world has changed. Young people are growing up in a world today that it costs a fortune to get an automobile, it costs a fortune to insure it, and insurance this past year just jumped on everybody because of the claim factors and the cost of new automobiles and all that sort of thing. If you don't teach your kids about that, then they'll be left like I was to learn it myself. My wife and I found an apartment when we came back to Rock Hill from the Marine Corps, and it was $65 a month for a duplex apartment. We lived in one side of the building and another family lived in the other side of the building. And we had no trouble paying that for rent. But people get married and start out today, they're paying a much higher percentage for living than what it cost when we got married and when we first started out. I went through a total of 7 years of higher education, including welding school, and then business administration, and then the Bible college, and then the online degrees after that, and paid for every bit of that myself. Nobody helped me. I didn't get any borrowed money. And this idea of having, you know, the gigantic debt that people had until Biden came along and erased all of it, or most of it for most people, that was an unheard of thing. I heard a lot of people say who got their debt wiped off, I wish I had borrowed more money. And that way they would have paid it all off and I didn't have to pay anything. And that's just not the philosophy that were American people thought about. We pay our debts. We reduce our spending to pay our debts. We curb our desires to stay within the frame of what we make so that we can live by the income that we bring in. I did learn through the struggles of life in the early days how to build some bridges across troubled waters, how to make things work out. 1 Peter 5:8 teaches that a parent should sacrifice for the children. And the children, my wife and I sacrificed our own desires for our children. We learned to save. We learned to pinch pennies. We learned to buy things secondhand. Our kids used to go to a Christian school. We sacrificed to send them there. And they would tease with other students and say they bought their clothes at GW Boutique. That was the Goodwill store, you know, GW Boutique. And you can get some pretty good quality clothes in places like that and save a lot of what they cost new. And when you're budgeting and trying to get by on what you earn and there's not enough for the things kids want, that's a help to do things in that way. We are dependent on being a faithful believer and studying the Word of God to be a witness for Christ and have a good testimony and be a witness of a testimony to our children so that they don't feel like we're hypocritical by teaching them to do one thing and then we do something else. We have to learn to make sure of the hills we want to die on. When you take a stand for something with your children, be sure it's not something you could compromise without making it an uproar. The slamming doors, the running away, all the difficulties that can be faced. They grow up with parental convictions. What are the parents' convictions? Then as they grow, they get involved in other young people and they have peer convictions. What other kids do. I know every parent is tired of hearing, "Mama, but so-and-so gets to do this, and I don't ever get to do that." And, you know, the old story, if so-and-so jumped off the building, would you jump off the building too, you know? And sadly, some of them would. Kids have to learn the boundaries for spending, for time management, for morals. They have to be able to have understanding of why we do the things that we do and why we don't do the things that we don't do. Raising children to be what we hope is like one author called it, building a fire in the rain. That's pretty difficult to build a fire in the rain. And it's pretty difficult to raise children. But it can be done. I really don't know any expert people at raising kids. It's a matter of being in a good church, having a Christian testimony, have the right morals and integrity and honesty, and bring the children up with prayer and the Word of God and a good church home for them to attend. But we recognize there's still an enemy at work against them. Satan seeks to have them taken captive by philosophies and teachings. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 and 8 says, "This I say, lest any man beguile you with enticing words." Verse 8, he said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Most all of you are familiar with spoil means to take captive. Men take other men captive through philosophy and vain deceit. Satan is behind all false teaching, every false philosophy, every deceptive way. He uses things such as false religion to make men captive. We think about all the different religions in the world, the Buddhists, the Muslims, the Hindus. These are generations that have followed a teaching that someone many years ago was taken captive by instead of knowing Christ as Savior and believing the Bible as the Word of God. Satan is effective in brainwashing young people with lies and malice. His goal is to turn them away from truth, to turn them away from morality, to turn them away from spiritual growth, to dismantle the foundations of Bible truth that we believe and hold dear. Satan has found his way into the entertainment world, and he's very involved in Hollywood. The political liberals with all this gender change and woke culture. You know what woke means? It means to wake up to something new. And this is what they want us to do, to wake up to their new teaching, their new ways of doing things, their ways of following what they want. The liberals in politics are following Hillary Clinton's book, "It Takes a Village to Raise a Child." I wonder how she would know. We are not ready to turn our children over to the government to raise our children for us. It doesn't take a village to raise our children. It takes dedicated parents to raise their children. The government's not supposed to be in charge of our children. That's the worst possible solution. Dangerous ideological conflicts that we must train our children in the right way so they're not led captive by these philosophies. Proverbs 22:6, "Train them up in the way they should go, so when they're old, they'll not depart from it." Remember, God is at work. In the book of Romans, it tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says that we are being conformed to the image of Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit within us, little by little, over the periods of time. Now, when kids get into the world and get educated with different views and philosophies, it affects them tremendously. The nation of Israel lived 430 years in Egypt. In one day, God brought them out of Egypt. But it took quite a long time to get Egypt out of the people. Their influences, what they were used to, what they desired in their habits. Children grow up in a world and become shaped and corrupted by the previous generation. False teaching. Satan's agenda is always anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-morality. We have to be aware of the battle that we're in and who is influencing our children. Faithful Christian home is a castle of safety. A godly church reinforces in the students listening to the Bible what you are teaching in the home. My dad and I dug a hole in the front yard. It was about 3 feet deep, 6 foot around. And he went up to a guy, a co-worker, went up to his farm and dug up a water oak. We brought it home and buried it. You call that the ball. We just said it had a bunch of dirt around it, you know. We buried that in the hole we dug. It took 10 years before it provided any shade for the house right beside it. But for the next 45 years, it was a great source of shade and a breeze. And you see, they didn't have air conditioning and central heat and all that sort of thing in the home that I grew up in. You open the window when it was hot. You turn the fan on, maybe. And hopefully when it got nighttime, maybe you'd be able to sleep. The saying is, one generation plants the trees and the next generation enjoys the shade. Friends, we are planting the trees for our children to enjoy the shade, for them to be able to grow up in a better world than what they're living in at the present time. Parents, your sins can have consequences on your children. You must teach them and warn them about our generation. You must build an understanding in them of the Word of God. Things that they must learn. This is important. You must not forget. God loves you. Christ died for you. You can be saved by faith in Christ. These great truths of the Word of God that they need to know and not forget and be constantly reminded of. We need to renew our strength spiritually. Ephesians 4:23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 2 Corinthians 4:16, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10, put off the old man and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Let's renew our dedication to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is our reasonable service. And let's bring up a generation of young people that know the Bible, that know how important it is to stay away from the sins of the world around them. And Lord, save the young people growing up in this church, we pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.